This is Doug Miller, the Apostle Paul, going up to Jerusalem against the clear instruction of God. What's the upshot of it all? Stick around, let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time with the Word of God in hand, ready to teach and to spend this time with you, knowing indeed we have the promise of God that His Word will never, ever, under any circumstance, return to Him void. It will accomplish what He pleases. And this Word is sharp and powerful. And I tell you, there's a great blessing in anyone who listens to this Word, who attends to it, gives heed to it, and spends time in it. And certainly, we are privileged to be able to do this, and there's a great responsibility, too. Always, we wish to tell the truth. We don't wish to stumble. We wish to simply put the Word of God out and let it do its work. And we are absolutely dependent on our listeners. We need your prayers. We need your support. We need your word of mouth advertising. We cannot exist. This is a faith ministry, and we cannot exist without you. So write Dialogue down on your prayer list and pray for us and get others to pray for us. I beg you. We would also love to hear from you. Always nice to get letters from our listeners, to know that you're there, to know that you're listening, to be able to help you in any way that we can with no strings of any kind attached. Believe me, we don't do it that way. We never have and we never will. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Okay. We also, if you want to email me, that'd be fine. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, once again, all one word, all small letters, .org. And we've got many of the broadcasts on there that you can pull down and listen to and read about Dialogue and so forth. If you wish to call me and talk to me, our phone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. You will get a recording, and I will call you back. All right. Now, I'm going to spend a little bit of time today, a little bit of time more than I have in the past, talking about the upcoming conference, because it is a week from today, next Saturday. It will begin at 10 o'clock in the morning. It is at the Character Inn in downtown Oklahoma City. And let me say a little bit about this. We hope to see a large number of you out. The topic we will be dealing with is the question, is God through with national Israel? There are a number of people out there. They seem to be growing in numbers. They've been around all along, who believe that the church is Israel, that the church has co-opted all of the promises ever given to Israel, that national Israel fell out of disfavor by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, that God is through with them, etc., etc. No one associated with Dialogue has ever taught such a thing or believe such a thing, and if you have been led down that road, you need to come listen to what I have to say on Saturday. I intend to refute that. We will get into prophecy as well, as we did last time, so please just write it on your calendars and make plans to be with us. We will start at 10 o'clock, and we will go until that afternoon, 3, 4 o'clock maybe. Now, because we are meeting in downtown Oklahoma City, last year when we had the conference down at Camp Klassen in the Arbuckles, we were able to provide a meal there just right across the way from where we held the conference at the Chow Hall. We're not going to provide a meal this time, but there are plenty of eating places around there. We will stop at noon and take it up again at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That will give you plenty of time to go out to down to Bricktown or wherever you wish to go and get something to eat. The parking at the Character Inn, this is just west of Walker on Main Street in downtown Oklahoma City. The parking might be a little bit problematical, but probably not. There's quite a bit of parking right around the building, and then the Character Inn has a parking lot of its own, which is southwest of the Character Inn and across the street to the west. Now, the one that's directly across the street is a paid parking lot. I don't know if you want to put money in that or not, but the other one is free, and it's the Character Inn's parking lot, and that is the one that is catty-cornered southwest across the street. All right. Any other questions that you might have, you can call me or email me or whatever. And once again, come out. Hope to see you. Now, with all of that behind me, let me get back into the book of Acts. And the last time we were in here, we saw the disciples warning Paul not to go to Jerusalem, and finally they just give it up. He wouldn't be persuaded, and they say, "The will of the Lord be done." All right. And after those days, we took up our carriages or our baggage and went up to Jerusalem. All right, now here they are. And there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. All right, they are now in Jerusalem, the very place the Holy Ghost told them not to go. But here they are. And what happens? Well, what happens is, well, I'll read it and I'll comment on it and I'll allow you to judge. Now, as I read this, I want you to remember, all of you, that Paul was the man who wrote the letter to the Galatians. Paul was the man who withstood Peter to his face when Peter was not being true to the truth of the gospel as he knew it. Peter, as you will recall, and I hope you've read Galatians, Peter was a guy who, he was up in Antioch, and Paul was there, and Barnabas, and there were a whole bunch of Gentiles there. Peter was eating with them, having fellowship with him. And the minute a party of the Jews came in from Jerusalem, Peter separated himself from the Gentiles, wouldn't have anything more to do with them. Didn't want to, offend the Jews there. And Paul jumped right in the middle of him and said, "What are you doing? You, who are a Jew, who live like a Gentile, you want these Gentiles to live like Jews?" Now, if you haven't read carefully the letter to the Galatians, I would suggest you go back and pick it up and read it. And read what Paul says about the law. And read what Paul says about the law in the book of Romans. I don't know, of course, who I'm talking to out there. For those of you who think somehow that by keeping the law, God is pleased with you, that somehow your salvation is bound up with how well you can keep the law or live by the Sermon on the Mount, I beg you, I implore you, hear what Paul says. In the book of Romans, for example, in chapter 2, therefore, or chapter 3, rather, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's Paul writing to the Romans, chapter 3, verses 22 through 24, if you must. How about what Paul wrote to the Galatians? Listen to this one. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Now, who is the we here? It's the Jews that Paul's talking about. And he's talking to Gentiles. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Is that not as clear as God can make? I don't know how he could make it any clearer. How about Galatians chapter 2, verses 21? I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Once again, I don't know how much clearer God has to make it. If righteousness come by the law, Christ is dead in vain. He died for no reason at all. If you can get saved by keeping the law. And Paul makes a case, he lays it out crystal clear in the book of Galatians, that these Gentiles do not need to be under the law. They don't need to allow people to be putting them under the law. You want to be circumcised, said Paul, fine, but you are making yourself a debtor to keep the whole law. And there is no one out there keeping it. Now, Paul is clear on this. He is very clear on this. But Paul was, in fact, a Jew. Paul was a man who in more than one place says that he did not do anything offensive to the Jews. He was very sensitive about the fact that the Jews thought the law was important and ought to be done. And while Paul was clear about what he said to the Gentiles, he himself was apparently careful to try to live by the law. That's interesting, isn't it? Puts him in a little bit of a bind, I think, although I could be wrong on this. We got a bunch of Gentiles out there today, even as I speak, some of you perhaps even listening to me, who think you're living by the law. I don't know where you would get such an idea, but you've got your problems and I've got mine. Look at Paul here. Because of his insistence that he not be offensive to the Jews, well, he's already offended them. He's already offended them to the point that there are a whole passel of him out there that want to kill him. But look at this, verse 17, when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. Notice how James has assumed the leadership position in this assembly at Jerusalem. Peter's kind of been pushed out of the way, hasn't he? I don't know if it bothered him any, but James, the Lord's half-brother, is the one that we are talking of. This is not John's brother, James. That James was killed by Herod. We saw that way back in chapter 12. This is the Lord's brother, and he is in a very prominent position in this assembly at Jerusalem, even to the point that he is the one named. Paul went up to see James. And when he, Paul, that is, had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, okay, now look at this. You ready? They were glad that these Gentiles were being saved, and they glorified the Lord for that. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He makes that very clear. That's where his ministry was. Praise the Lord for him. this Gentile speaking to you right now probably would never have been saved. But nevertheless, let's see what happens. They said unto him, this is a bunch of them, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Now, they're not talking about Gentiles here. They're certainly not talking to me, because I am not zealous of the law. I give thanks, praise to God, hallelujah, that I am saved by grace through faith, apart from the works of the law, without the works of the law. I know that by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. But here are Jews, and they were raised in this tradition. They were believers, and when it says here, Jews which believe, I can only take it that they were believers that the Lord Jesus Christ was Messiah, but they were zealous of the law. All right, Paul. Well, you're the guy that wrote the letter to the Galatians. You're the guy who wrote the letter to the Romans. You're the guy who says that the law has nothing to do with salvation. You're the one who says that it's by grace through faith by believing the gospel. You're the one who repeatedly says that you cannot work your way to heaven. Well, okay. What are you going to do, Paul? They are informed of thee, verse 21, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Well, I don't know that Paul taught the Jews out there in the diaspora that. I don't know if he did it at all. I know he was very plain about what he said to the Gentiles. I know that Peter was very plain, and even James, about the instructions they sent out to the Gentiles we saw back in the 15th chapter of Acts. They told the Gentiles very bluntly and very plainly that they didn't have to keep the law, that they never intended for them to do that. Peter says in Acts 15, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Now, but here we have it. They are zealous of the law, all these Jews. They are believers. But they hear that you're out there teaching that their children, the Jewish children out there in the diaspora, needn't be bothered with the law. Well, I want to tell you something. This guy talking to you right now, if a Jew comes to me and says, I want to talk to you about salvation, how can I be saved? I'm not going to throw the law at him. I'm going to tell him the gospel just like I would tell a Gentile. And I'm going to tell him it's by grace through faith, believing the gospel. And the law has nothing to do with it. That's my message to him. If you want to keep the law or try to keep it, you can't keep it. You're not going to keep it. There are too many things out there that you couldn't even begin to do. There's not a priesthood in place. There is no one to sacrifice. There is no one at Yom Kippur to put the blood on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. None of that's even in place. There is no temple. There is no tabernacle. I would point all this out. Now, you want to fumble around and try to keep the law, that's up to you. But that's not what saves you. It's not going to save you. So, I mean, that would be my message to any Jew out there listening to me right now. But this was a different time and place, I guess, and these guys were very concerned about these Jews. They didn't want to offend any of them. So, verse 22, what is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this, that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. them take and purify thyself with them and be at charges with them that they may shave their heads and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood and from strangled and from fornication. Well, there you are, Paul. You're a Jew. Start acting like one. Okay. Paul goes right along with him. Now, I don't know about this. I quite frankly am somewhat puzzled by it. If you were listening last week about how Paul went up to Jerusalem in defiance of the Lord, I think I know about that. I think I know that he was dead wrong on that one. This one is a little bit difficult, and yet once again, I find it strange, somewhat at least, that Paul, the man who wrote Galatians and Romans and made it very clear about salvation, felt the need to put himself under this vow. Let's look at it in verse 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day purified himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. All right, here we have Paul. He's in Jerusalem, where the Lord told him not to go. And now he is in the temple with a vow, doing these things that he knows himself can't save anyone, and yet he is a good Jew, I guess, and doesn't want to offend the Jews. Now, let me say something to all of you who are listening to me in closing. This business of going up to Jerusalem, in symbol, at least symbolically, not literally. If you want to visit Jerusalem, praise the Lord. I hope you can. I'd like to do it myself someday. But in symbol, what do we have here? This going up to Jerusalem is going back, in a sense, to a way of life that all believers should have left far behind them. The dispensation that we are living in is the dispensation of grace. Don't waste my time writing to me and calling me an antinomian and saying that I'm preaching lawlessness. I am not. But what I am saying is this. You want to return to Jerusalem? You want to go back into temple worship? That's exactly where a lot of you, I'm afraid, are right now. You put the priesthood back in place. You raise up the curtain again. You put the veil in place. You close off the Holy of Holies to the believers. You go back under the law, and you start doing all of those things which we were freed from by the grace of God when He saved us through His blessed Son. I hope none of you are going back that way. And for those of you who think that somehow your actions in keeping rules and laws that were written for the Jews and the Hebrews many years ago, somehow you think that's pleasing God, it is not. Christ Jesus died for you, and He paid the full penalty, and salvation is by and through Him and Him alone. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.